So what a beautiful sanctuary we're in right now. And let's take advantage of this beautiful space, this quiet moment, this sanctuary, these super comfortable chairs, and close your eyes, relax your head, relax your neck, relax your shoulders and arms. Relax your hands, relax your back, relax your chest, relax your abdomen, relax your thighs, relax your knees, relax your legs, relax your feet. Feel all the tension melting away from your body, effortlessly draining. And now allow your feet to connect with the energy of the earth. Underneath us, we are on Mother India. And imagine the golden globe of purity that's within the region, under the surface, under your feet, but connected through the golden threads. And allow your feet to connect with this golden energy of purity. And bring that purity up through your feet, through your legs, through your knees, up through your thighs, your abdomen and your chest, your back, your hands, your arms, your shoulders, up through your neck and the top of your head, and out through your crown chakra. And allow this beautiful connection with Mother India and the cosmos streaming through your body, a benevolent love that exists within the space between your cells. And just allow yourself to relax. There's nothing to do. Simply allow to receive the golden energies.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. We are back in the city of Delhi, in a beautiful room that is quiet. It is the end of the first section of the India tour. Dear ones, I want to reflect on some things that I've said in the past about an evolving humanity. I want to discuss some things that would seem to be not germane or pertaining to India, but I'm going to finish it with a prophecy. If you took a look at what sociologists say about war, why has humanity had war all through the history? It seems like literally there would be only a slight vacation, and then there would be war. Almost from the beginning of human history, you would see that war was constant, and it seemed to be everywhere, not exclusively to one place or another. Even your definitions of the hemispheres is absolutely true in certain ways And yet there are exceptions. The conquerors, the war hemisphere, brought war into the South. So all hemispheres had their wars. If you took a look at why, and you have been paying attention perhaps to what I have told you, and what sociologists may also look at, but not totally understand, there are several attributes. Now stay with me, because this will then turn around into something else. First of all, you have a lower consciousness humanity. If you look at humanity and where you've come from and where you've gone, there is definitely an evolution of consciousness. When you started, you could see that it was low. That's one reason. The other reason that in this consciousness that is low, you would have some attributes. One of the attributes is isolationism because of fear. Fear of the other group, competition for what perceived to be limited resources. And then there's the one that the sociologists don't know about. I'll call it a short lifetime attribute. In other words, human beings didn't live long enough to remember that war doesn't work. Lifetimes were short. They still are, dear ones. Your grandmothers and grandfathers will remember a war, and then there is no one to remember. It should be a longer Akash with longer lives so that you'd have the wisdom to remember that it doesn't work. But if you take a look, that was missing as well. So if you look at these attributes, the question is this: if you turned around all of those attributes, would it then create peace? And the answer is yes. And this is what I have been teaching you now for over 20 years. And you're beginning to see it on the planet now. It was approximately 18 years ago when I gave you some information that said, when everybody can talk to everybody, there can be no secrets. This was literally before the internet. If we had told you at that time that you would carry around devices that would put you in touch with everything all the time, this would have been something of the far future. But what it has accomplished is the fact that you no longer have the isolation attribute. You can speak to each other. There's no fear of who the other group is. You start to enjoy each other's cultures. You start to reveal things that used to be hidden that could be hidden because you never talked to the other one. That's number one. So increased communication between humanity is one of the attributes of peace. Here is another attribute: a longer lifespan, and the remembrance in the Akash, even of past lives that experienced war. Now, this falls within the category of an evolving humanity. Part of the evolution of human beings will be an awakening Akash. We have spoken of this before. And in this particular subject of war and peace, of evolution of humanity, the evolving awakening Akash means you are going to start remembering what didn't work in many of the past lives that you've had. Instead of a system that you have now of a lower consciousness that literally doesn't even remember that you had a past life at all. This is the awakening we start to speak of. In the West, this will be confusing. Here, there is an acknowledgement of a system of lifetimes. In a Western world, there is not. So look to this. More and more exposure of the potential and the possibility that humanity goes through a cycle where the soul returns. That's two. There are other attributes you could also point to. The evolving human spirit is going to start giving you things you didn't expect. And one of them will be the ability, finally, to have technology combined with consciousness, which is going to start solving problems that heretofore could not be solved. Kryon has come under criticism many times for being the Pollyanna channel. That is to say, only good things in the future. And the criticism goes like this. Well, that's nice, Kryon, but you don't really truly understand how humanity works, or you would not say the things you're saying. And that, my dear human beings, is one of the biggest issues that you must go through, judging the future on what's happened in the past. I'm going to explain, and I'm going to bring you into a circle of explanations and predictions. Human consciousness at its best is spectacular. Human consciousness at a high level starts to invite the kinds of inventions on this planet that cannot be weaponized. And we've said this before to you as well. And through that window will come inventions that will solve the problems that you do not think can be solved. There are some problems that sociologists and science say cannot be solved because they say they're systemically unsolvable. In other words, the very system creates the problem, and you cannot then solve the problem because the system is the system. And this is where it gets good, because the system is what is changing. And that is different from any time in human history. Let me give you an example of how higher consciousness, thinking above the system, and also that which is coming in invention, works together to start cleaning up the planet in a way you never expected, or giving you resources you never expected. The system says there's limited resources. The system is based in an old energy. The truth is, there are not limited resources at all. You just haven't found out where they are yet. Imagine a city that needs water, and the city grows and grows, and fresh water is not available. Now the system, the paradigm, says this: all fresh water comes from the sky. Whether it's in the snow that's melting or the rain that falls, that is the fresh water. All the other water on the planet is salt. Therefore, it is Gaia, or the system of Gaia, that is the best desalination process ever. And so what do? Well, the humans say, if we could only get it to rain more, then we would have more fresh water. And so pouring in is the funding that would change the weather, perhaps, or bring the rain clouds in, perhaps, or make them rain more, perhaps. And all of that has been relatively unsuccessful. And so you end up shipping water from one area to another at great expense. What if I told you this, that the system can be changed with invention? What if it was possible to bring in water the same way the clouds do? What if you could extract water from the air? And you will say, wow, that would be great, but we don't think so. Well, think again. It is possible, and you will discover it. Cities on the coasts will find brand new methods of desalinization that does not require heat in a real time to give fresh water to any city that is on the coast. It changes then the system of fresh water. Do you see what I'm saying? When the paradigm changes, then the problem is no longer the problem. So what you need is paradigm shift. What's the planet going to do about a grid system of electricity that is failing? You cannot keep up with it. The population goes too fast, and the system will not sustain itself with a coming cold. Electricity is in trouble, and we have told you this in the past. Perhaps some of you have seen even some power failures today. It is common here, dear ones. The grid system is barely sustainable in this land. And so there is a systemic problem. What do? More wires, more generators, more fuel to make the electricity. What if the whole idea of distributed electricity goes away and you don't have wires? And that is also what is coming, because the generation of electricity, energy, in several ways that doesn't require distribution because it's no longer centralized, is what's coming. Electricity that's generated in neighborhoods for only the neighborhood. And it's generated in ways that are not only extremely new, but do not require any of the resources that you currently use to make electricity. We've told you even before, one of the secrets to what you are discussing as free energy requires magnetism. Magnets are forever. They push and they pull, literally for thousands of years, and they cost nothing. There is a way, all coming for these kinds of things. Water, power. But what about this? What are you going to do about population explosion? Now I talk to the group that is here. The ones that listen have not experienced what you experienced yesterday, the day before. When you walk out of this hotel, some of you want to cover your nose and your mouth. There is pollution. The pollution lays on the city in such a degree that it often blocks out the sun. When aircraft land in this city, they give visibility rules that are different from other cities. For the visibility rules almost always are not weather related. They're pollution related. In addition, it's overcrowded. In addition, the religion or the belief system says that life is precious and that having many children is a good thing. In this land that is one-fifth of the Earth's population, the growth rate is the entire population of Australia every year. Now, what do you do? Cryon, what invention is going to solve this? That is the doubter who is saying, well, Cryon, there's only so much you can do with invention. And that's correct. But what you have not thought of is what you don't know. I want you to think for a moment about something that might happen, that I am telling you will happen. And the reasoning will be about the spiritual system. I have given you information all through this trip that the source is here, that this particular land supports the beginning idea of a oneness, turning inside with self-realization instead of outside to prophet worship. That it's the closest thing you will find to the truth of what the higher self will give you, of what the other side of the veil has been trying to give you and tell you through a low consciousness now turning in to a higher consciousness. The solution to everything that is in India that you believe is systemic will start solving itself because of the Hindu. Listen, within a few years, a growing movement will show itself. It's already here. And it's a new philosophy and a question that is a dichotomy. And the question comes from the young Hindu who are very much into oneness, who are looking around and saying, there's a dichotomy here, mother and father, that you have created and that you have never thought of. We believe in the preciousness of life. We believe in the preciousness of all living things, of the animals, of the humans, of Gaia itself, the beauty of all these things, and we are poisoning all of it. That has to be contrary to the very essence and the core of Hinduism. And in the process of that realization will then come the funding, the reasoning, the voting for those in charge to clean this place up in a way that you've never been able to do before because of the religion, because of the belief system. Oh, it even gets better. There will be the acknowledgement, the aha, that although life is precious, you could make it better in the cities with fewer people. And the way to do that would be to have fewer children. Do you see the circle of reasoning? It will not come from the government. It won't come from an invention. It's going to come right out of the preciousness of the oneness of Hinduism. When they realize, finally, they are poisoning the precious life that is everything that oneness teaches. Therefore, you'll start to see an evolution of consciousness based on the oneness that will then clean the air, reduce the population, and slowly have it come to a place that is reasonable instead of the place where it is today, where it seems to be literally out of control. That is what higher consciousness is about. It starts to then affect the entire planet. And in the process, dear ones, war will not occur. You have two generations or so before this will be realized. that all the countries will put together even a declaration that the idea of killing each other is abominable, is not humane, is not what humans do anymore. A declaration of high consciousness for a planet in transit. This is just one of the things that you can look forward to that is coming. You live in difficult times because the old and the new are still clashing. You've only been a few years out of 2012. And so there is more coming, more clashes coming, more of the old against the new. But slowly, the light and the oneness will be realized as the way. And there will be those who see it who are not spiritual at all. It simply will be logical. And that is another part of the human growing up into a realization that these things are self-evident and not necessarily spiritual. Do you see how that might work with a great deal of the population that doesn't necessarily believe in cryon or spiritual things, but they will see the truth of it and participate in it anyway? There'll be more. And so it is.